Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. And once again, you know, when I mentioned Spokane Valley, not to be confused with downtown Spokane, which is a little bit less free. We're going to get to that a little bit later in the show. And once again, brought to you by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, this is the year we make freedom a reality, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Jeremiah 6:16 reminds us, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And I don't know about you, but I can barely watch the news anymore. I mean, it's incredible. And stress levels are getting very high. There's a person that I know in Olympia, lobbyist actually, who died just last night. And I got to believe a lot of these things are stress-related when you have a strokes and heart attacks and aneurysms and everything else. I mean, my goodness. We need to find rest for our souls, and that's really what's going to keep us moving in the right direction. So, a lot of things happening around the world today. A lot of things happening. But first, we're going to start with your daily intelligence briefing. And on the international front, once again, we're going to talk about Venezuela. We're going to talk about the fact that no one is really mentioning Venezuela, or if they do it in passing, but food shortages, water rationing, electricity rationing, complete collapse going on in Venezuela, literally the government going into buildings, shooting people that they believe disagree with them. Implied with that is weapons confiscation of what weapons are left, because obviously the Venezuelan people have been disarmed. The opposition has been denied the ability for an election, actually a referendum specifically. So literally have suspended elections down there. And the government literally has run out of money to buy the supplies to print more money. I mean, just doesn't get any more real, I guess, than that. But it's a great message for all of us back here at home. This can happen anywhere. I mean, Venezuela is a very oil-dependent country, has, I think, the largest proven oil reserves in the world, larger than Saudi Arabia. So it's not like they don't have the wealth or resources, but corrupt socialism, just socialism in general, has led to the downfall of Venezuela and this collapse that's going on and untold numbers of people suffering. And I got to tell you, folks, it's going to happen here if we continue to embrace socialism. It really is. So I think there's this isn't funny anymore. Let me just go here. It is not funny anymore when people say that socialism is the best way to do it. And they laugh when you ask, how are you going to pay for that? They just kind of laugh it off. Ha ha. Not a big deal. You don't understand. It's not funny anymore, because what it ultimately leads to is the death of people. It ultimately leads to the impoverishment of people. It ultimately leads to the harm of other people. This failed system that literally has been responsible for the deaths of tens of millions. And ultimately, there is no such thing as socialism or communism. Really, what it is an oligarchy, given the means at the point of a gun to take people's stuff and give it to other people. I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. And so it's not very funny that, for example, out here in Spokane Valley, my opponent has named his committee, his campaign committee, formally with the Public Disclosure Commission, Friends of the Revolution. Because a communist revolution implies a violent overthrow of the existing government and communist revolution literally means the continued and horrific enslavement of people. So this stuff isn't funny. It's not funny. It's un-American. It's anti-American. It's anti-Constitution. And very candidly, if you don't believe in the Constitution, as it is written and as it was meant to be read and understood, then you really are breaking your own contract with your fellow Americans. Because it's the Constitution that unites us. It's the one thing that we agree on. So this stuff is not funny anymore. And that's why I think Venezuela is such a cautionary tale for all of us. And I think we just need to start calling people out on it. We just need to call people out wherever we see it. And I know many of you have done that and are doing that. So I do want to bring up General Petraeus today on the international front, because the Bilderberg meeting is over. It was in Dresden, Germany. General Petraeus attended, and he was caught in his t-shirt and shorts running away from the media, who wanted to ask him why he attended this very secretive oligarch meeting. Well, he comes back home and decides that he wants to form a gun control group. I posted this on my Facebook page. I'm going to share it on the Patriot Radio page right now. But I'm so profoundly disappointed. I'm not surprised, but I'm profoundly disappointed in him that he has now gone full globalist and is now going for gun control, and he wants to actually go after veterans first. You got to read this post. It came from Veritas Consulting, a great source of information, primary source always. So take a look at it. Unbelievable. And these are the type of people that are meeting in secret, saying, just trust us, right, in Bilderberg, right, the Bilderberg group. Also on the international front, the German bonds have gone negative for the first time in history. A very big deal. Very big deal. Now you have, we're going to do negative. Basically, I have to pay you to put my money in the bank. It's my money. I mean, that's where we're headed with all this stuff. Unreal. Also on the international front in Britain, Brexit may become reality. Britain leaving the European Union may become reality, and right now it is leading dramatically in the polls. The Leave movement is leading dramatically in the polls over there, 7 points, and they're gaining more momentum by the day. One of the largest newspapers over there, interestingly enough, owned by Rupert Murdoch, came out endorsing the Leave movement, saying that there's too much tyranny and dictatorial edicts coming out of Brussels. Wow. You're actually hearing that in England. So we need to keep our eyes on that, because if the European Union disintegrates, that is going to have some dramatic economic consequences for the United States and for the rest of the world. Like I've been saying, be prepared. Also on the international front, the Russian government hacked the Democrat, and this is in quotes, okay, hacked the Democrat National Committee's opposition research on Donald Trump. Wow. So their foreign intelligence folks hacked the Democrat National Committee's opposition research on Trump, and so now the Russians have it. And I've been saying this for a while. This election is about globalism versus nationalism. And very clearly, I think the Russians want to know more about Trump because they think he has a shot at winning. Which brings us to the national front and the fact that Hillary Clinton is suddenly the front runner and still not in jail. How is that possible? Two inspectors general, one report. Experts all over the place saying she has committed a crime and still not in jail, not even indicted. and the Obama administration endorsing her, which really implies, I think, that she's never going to see any sort of the inside of a courtroom or jail cell. And most Democrats aren't even holding her accountable. 70% would still support her, according to a poll. Unreal. Also on the national front, terror in Orlando. A registered Democrat, Muslim, went into a gay bar and killed almost 50 people. And we're still having the discussion about whether radicalized jihadis are a threat to America. We're still having a conversation about the fact that Islam and the teachings thereof promote these types of actions. Now, there are some Muslims who say that those teachings are completely wrong and totally misinterpreted. But very clearly, there is a significant portion that believe them. I mean, you just had the Ayatollah in Iran come out and say there is only one interpretation and Sharia law, you must be compliant with it. There is no other interpretation. That is the head religious leader of Shia Islam. Okay, so you have an entire half. What's less than that? It's about a quarter. Maybe a little less than that even. Led by this guy who come out and just admitted it. I'm going to take him at his word. He's the head religious leader. And we're still having this discussion. And interestingly enough, it was on the very day, the evening, that we had the Answering Islam conference over in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and we presented the primary source documents very clearly showing terrorist infiltration into the United States of America. The Holy Land Foundation trial found as a matter of law and fact, the judge there found as a matter of law and fact, that the Council of American Islamic Relations, CARE, and the North American Islamic Trust, NAIT, were both members of the Muslim Brotherhood, a terrorist organization. And NAIT, the North American Islamic Trust, owns the mosque in Spokane Valley. And somebody tried to challenge in the audience the fact that it was essentially okay that our sheriff considers constitutionalists a greater threat than ISIS. He tried to challenge the fact that I called that out and that our sheriff was presented with all of this information that I've put out over the radio show for the last couple of months, and yet still went and visited with CARE, still went and praised CARE publicly, and still did not back down and apologize for saying that constitutionalists were a threat. In the dictionary definition of constitutionalist is somebody that loves the Constitution, believes in limited government, believes our rights come from God, not man. That's what it means to be American. And some person in the audience tried to challenge, well, that's not what they really mean. Well, then don't use the word. If you know that and you continue to use the word, you're doing it intentionally. And I have to hold you accountable for that. We all do. If you know that the word is being misused and you continue to use it intentionally, then you are intentionally trying to lump everybody else, Christians, those that love the Constitution, conservatives, all into the same boat. You're trying to do that. And it's unsettling that this continues to be a discussion. don't use the word. Constitutionalist is a good thing. It's what it means to be an American. Constitution unites us. You don't get MRAPs because you have constitutionalists. If you mean sovereign citizens, then say sovereign citizens. Don't say constitutionalists. And the dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people that have met with our local county sheriff know that he does mean us, the listeners of Patriot Radio. And so I want to be really clear on this, that we've got to cut all of the political correctness out, call a spade, that these terrorist organizations are infiltrating the United States of America. They need to be investigated. And at the same time, and more importantly, we need to be vigilant against people using this as an excuse to take away gun rights, etc. That's actually the greater threat. And eviscerate the Fourth Amendment at the same time. Also on the national front, ACLU director in our piece entitled When Liberals Meet Reality quits after her daughters suffer an ordeal in a bathroom when transgendered men come in there. And at least she stayed true to her principles. And she quit the ACLU. And apparently that's what this is going to take to wake folks up. But I will tell you, in moving now to the regional front, the state of Washington OSPI specifically came out and sent an email to us and said that it is optional for school districts to teach gender identity expression in 2017. So what that means to everybody listening to this show today is that you can go to your school district and demand that they do not allow it to be taught in their school district. OSPI has said it's a local choice. The kindergartners get taught gender expression. Great. Now we go to our school districts and demand that they do not teach that. And like I've said before, if this is the line in the sand, folks, if it is going to be taught in your school district, you need to pull your kids from government schools. There's just no other choice at this point. Also on the regional front, BLM creates a new security and intelligence post. Now, every time that you create a position in a bureaucracy and you say, okay, you're now in charge of this, and that person's going to get agents, they're going to get new employees, they're going to get resources. So the idea that they create a post for one guy of security and intelligence and that's all it's going to be is ridiculous. They've created a new division in BLM for security and intelligence, which is one, unconstitutional, and two, frightening, because every other agency is looking to do the same thing. And what that means is that they are essentially going around posse comitatus, which prevents the U.S. military from doing law enforcement activities on U.S. soil. And they are effectively creating mini armies in all of these government agencies, which I think violates the spirit of the Constitution. So keep your eyes on that, and I'll continue to report on it. Also on the regional front, God and Country Celebration coming up June 24th through 26th in Marble, Washington. You check it out online. And, you know, if you get a chance, it is the greatest gathering of patriots of the year. And a lot of you have sent me things, what can I do? What can I do? We are going to be talking about what you can do up in Marble at God and Country. How can I fight back? What organizations can I join? How can I be effective in the use of my time? We are going to be talking about specifically what you can do to help fight back. And we're going to be doing that up at God and Country. So I look forward to seeing you all up there. Also, on the local front, well, you have an interesting thing happening with Cascadia Rising. Now, if you didn't hear about Cascadia Rising, it was this exercise about what was going on with earthquakes potentially on the West Coast and how we would react to it. Well, as part of that, they actually had an entire social media training exercise. They literally created an entire social media network, something called Fakebook, something called SimTube, something called Bleats instead of Tweets. And they literally put these things out. Well, part of these bleats that were put out, there were some they said these are the bleats that would be put out by, quote, anti-government people. And they actually planned for how to deal with this so-called anti-government bleats. Now, it's interesting that in the bleats, if you read them, it kind of makes it sound like this. There's like an Alex Jones type organization out there spreading totally untrue things, and it makes it sound like you can only rely on the official authorities. No, nobody else, not even locally formed groups from churches or anything to help out. It has to be, quote, official organizations. And so it was very interesting watching that they think really the government is going to be able to totally handle this by themselves. And that's never been the case. Never been the case. It's always been private citizens that have helped out at the local level, and particularly from churches. Particularly from churches that have helped make sure that food and water and blankets gets to the folks, and sometimes 2 or 3 days before the government even arrives. So it's interesting that was part of this training exercise, and I look forward to asking some questions in the legislature from those folks that were a part of it as well, because, my goodness, I hope that really isn't their plan, because that is just going to fail from the outset. All right, also on the local front, Joe Robertson, over in Montana, the guy that made the pond, he's going to have a court date in July. I'm going to be posting the date and time up there, and would love to have everybody that can drive over to Montana and show support for Joe, who is being fined for building a pond that he had a permit for, while at the same time, the EPA destroys an entire river and nobody gets held accountable. So this is the kind of ridiculous stuff that's going on, and we need to stand with folks, because it's not just going to be Joe that this happens to. It's going to be all of us eventually. So I'm going to have that up. Keep your ears out for that. And if you can get over there in July to support Joe, I think that'd be really great. Also on the local front, Steve McLaughlin, who's running for Washington Commissioner of Public Lands, is going to be in Spokane this next week. He's going to be at La Bella Vie Event Center on June 23rd, 5:30 p.m. And he's also going on June 24th, the next morning at 7 a.m. He's going to be at the Bangkok Thai restaurant in downtown Spokane, right near the No Lie Brew House, if you guys know that. It's really kind of a neat little location there. He will also be up on June 24th at 3 p.m. up in Colville at the Colville Library. And he is going to be at another location at 6 o'clock. It's called Buggin' Out, 108 East Crawford in Deer Park on June 24th as well. I'm going to be on June 23rd at 5:30. I'm going to be there at La Bella Vie Event Center out in the valley off Barker Road with Steve. So if you want to get to know Steve, this is a very important position, lands commissioner, almost nobody talks about, and you want to ask him questions, show up for that. He's a great guy, a veteran, really solid patriot as well. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for Patriot Radio and Victoria and myself personally. And if you get a chance, go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook. Just like the page and share it with your friends real quick. Doesn't take a lot of time. Share it with your friends. Help us continue to grow the footprint of Patriot Radio. And also, if you want to support the show, you can go to VoteShea.com, and click donate and help make sure that we stay on the air. It's really important to do that. And I want to thank all the listeners that have responded to my recent calls to do that and for help, because it ensures that we can have great guests on, not only nationally known guests, but also some local heroes on Patriot Radio as well. And speaking of one of those local heroes, my good friend Kelly Richardson, family service advisor, and going to be talking about Dignity Memorial and some veterans issues today, since a lot of those have been in the news recently. And I think veterans have been really kind of poorly treated, especially by the VA. I think everybody's seen these articles, and really appreciate all of your efforts and your heart for veterans, Kelly.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, and I really, you got to tell a little bit of your story first, and also a little bit about what Memorial Day means for you. You know, we've worked together on several things, but I've always really appreciated your own personal story and stick-to-itiveness.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Well, I'm from a military family, just since World War I. I know we go back further than that, but just since World War I, 24 members of my family from both sides have served in the military. And I am not the first woman to serve. One of my grandmothers was a WAVE during World War II. So anyway, my whole life has been, has kind of revolved around veterans and military things. And I served in Operation Desert Storm back in 91. And after I got out of the Army, I came home and I really didn't do much with it. I just kind of tried to blend back into society, and I went to college and did all that kind of thing. But 10 years ago, my brother came home from Afghanistan with a really serious traumatic brain injury. And it's been a very unpleasant experience since then. He's had some serious issues that we've had to deal with as a family. And so when we started dealing with his issues, I realized that, hey, I'm not a family member. I'm a veteran first and a family member second. And so I started getting back involved with a lot of the Spokane veterans groups and events and things going on around town. And I've been a part of several nonprofits. And but what I'm doing now is I back up a little bit. When I got out of the Army, I used my GI Bill and my vocational rehab to go to a mortuary college in Kansas City. And so I got my degree in mortuary science and entered into funeral service, which I did for several years. And then I came back to Spokane and took a break from it for a while. And so I've this last year, God called me back into funeral service, and through a great fluke of events, I ended up meeting a guy last summer who became my boss at the funeral home. And so one of the big things that I'm working on at the funeral home is, of course, you know, funerals apply to everyone. However, most of my clients have been veterans and their families. And one of the really serious issues that has come up, especially I'm seeing with the older veterans, is a lot of veterans think that the VA is going to pay for their funeral or their cremation, and this is not the case. The only thing that is free is if you use the veteran cemetery out in Medical Lake. And of course, you get the flag and the military honors and everything if you use the cemetery out there. But before you get to the cemetery, you have to either be cremated or in a casket. And the VA does not pay for any of those things, for caskets, embalming, cremations, urns, flowers, folders, chapel services. If you have a wake, visitation, any of those type of things, the VA does not pay for any of that. They only pay for the Veterans Cemetery out in Medical Lake. And so in January, my boss and I started doing once a month seminars that are specifically designed for veterans to educate them about the reality of what the VA does and does not cover. And we talk to people about the cemetery out in Medical Lake and how to, you know, we help people fill out the applications for that and get that started. And then we teach people how to pre-plan and pre-arrange so that when they pass away, they don't leave their family, you know, with this burden. And you have the emotional burden on top of it. And we just see a lot of the older veterans' families, they're devastated when they come in and they find out that their dad's funeral is not paid for.
And that's kind of, I mean, really add insult literally to injury if that happens. I mean, people are, you know, they're already at a very terrible moment of their lives, and yes, then all of a sudden they get stuck with a bill on top of it.
Yes, it is. And the only burial benefits that are available are very limited. You basically have to die from a service-connected injury or illness, or you have to be in the hospital, in a VA hospital at the time. And so if you do decide to use a private cemetery and you pass away from a service-connected disability, the maximum that the government will pay is $2,000. So if you have a $10,000 funeral, you're only going to get 2,000 of it back. And if you were in the hospital, you get $700. And if you were not in the hospital at the time, you get $300. And what happens, and also this does not get paid for up front. Everything has to be paid for up front. And then the family sends in some paperwork and the receipts from the funeral home. They send it into the VA, and then the VA reviews the veteran's case and decides if they're eligible. And if they are, you get a partial reimbursement several months later. So it's not really anything to rely on. Some people get the reimbursement and a lot of people don't.
So. Wow. It is very complicated. Just trying to even listen to that. But there's got to be a better way of doing things. There's got to be a better solution. And I know you have some ideas on that, and I would like you to share those. And also, you know, how can people look ahead? Is terrible. A lot of people will not want to talk about death. They won't want to do it. But how could people look ahead, and why should they look ahead?
Well, the solution to this is pre-planning, pre-arranging. And I don't care who you are, this is not going to go away. Nobody is going to escape from this. And the sooner that you deal with it, the better off you will be, and also the better off your family will be after your passing. So we really, really encourage people to pre-plan and pre-arrange. And you don't, it's not something that older people just do. You know, a lot of our clients are kind of in their 50s and 60s when they finally realize that they need to start thinking about these things. And a lot of people have a death in their family before they realize that they need to start thinking about their own arrangements. But we have a, once in a while, we'll get somebody in that's in their 20s who wants to get this planned and taken care of. And that's rare, but we have had a few. So an immediate solution is this Thursday, day after tomorrow, on June 16th, we're going to have our next seminar at 3 o'clock up at Ball and Dodd Funeral Home. And Ball and Dodd Funeral Home is the one that's behind the VA hospital. It's just west of the hospital by Joel B. Stadium. And so from 3 to 5, we're going to have a seminar that is specifically for veterans. And we're going to talk about the VA burial benefits, or lack thereof, and the cemetery out at Medical Lake and how to go about getting into that. And then we're going to talk to people about pre-planning and pre-arranging. And we've got some great materials for veterans. We've got a personal planning guide. We've got a veterans planning guide. We've got a library of all kinds of brochures and DVDs that deal with the different types of grief and different types of scenarios that people face. And the bottom line is the best thing to do is to pre-plan. And don't wait until you're 80. Don't wait until your spouse dies or you have a stroke or something else happens. The sooner you take care of this, one, you're going to save a lot of money and you're going to save your family from a lot of grief. And it just makes sense. And one part of the conversation that we have with people is we insure our cars and hope that we never get in a wreck. And we insure our homes and hope that it never burns down. So you are going to die one day, so doesn't it make sense to insure what is going to happen? And surprisingly, well, not really, but a lot of people, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. They, it's so far down the road that, you know, that they just kind of don't want to face it right now. And it usually takes a crisis for people to wake up. Most people have a death in their family or a close friend that die before they realize that, you know, hey, this can happen to you. This can happen to your family. It's happened in my family over and over. And that's kind of how I got into funeral service, because I'm from one of those families that we're worse than the Kennedys. We don't die, we get killed. And we've had 5 or 6 young, unnatural, unexpected deaths in our family. And so I was familiar with all of this long before I went to mortuary school. And so now my goal is to help other people, walk through this process, because it is emotional and it is scary. And people just don't know, what goes on at the funeral home and what happens after you die. And a lot of people have watched entirely too much television and they do not know, you know, they don't understand the death process of what happens from the moment you die until the moment that you are either buried or cremated. A lot of things happen. A lot of decisions have to be made. It's expensive to die. And it's just a lot of detailed decisions. And so we try to help people get 90% of that pre-planned, pre-funded, and get this all taken care of now. And then you put it on the back burner and go live the rest of your life. And then when the time comes, it's a wonderful gift for your family when they realize that, hey, mom or dad already made all these decisions and they paid for it, so we don't have to. And I went through this when my mom passed away about 4 years ago, and she took care of everything. She took care of her cremation, her cemetery stuff, her marker. She took care of all of her accounts and her legal affairs. So when she passed away, we did not have to get a lawyer. We didn't have to go to probate, and we didn't have to make any decisions because mom already planned everything out and paid for everything. So it made that transition a whole lot smoother, you know, for us. So my goal is to help other people do that. And so far, most of my clients have been veterans and their families, but of course, you know, we'll help anybody. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about funding there, because it really is kind of a touchy subject. I mean, what if you don't have enough money right now to pay for everything all at once? I mean, how can you possibly afford to do something like that?
Well, the good news is if you pre-plan years in advance, you can go on a payment plan, whereas if you wait until at need, it all has to be paid for up front. You cannot finance a funeral once a person has already died, because the funeral cannot be repossessed. It's, you know, it's not like a car loan. So by pre-planning years in advance, you can make payments over a 3, 5, or 10-year period. And with Dignity Memorial, there is no interest and there's no insurance fee. So if you planned out, let's just say you planned out an $8,000 funeral today, a traditional burial, and you wanted to spread that out over a 5-year period, it would be right around $130 a month, again, with no interest. If you wanted to spread it out over 10 years, it would be about $65 or $70 a month. So it is affordable if you plan ahead. You can make the payments, whereas if you wait until the time of need, it's too late and everything has to be paid for.
Dignity Memorial, if you could put out one more time when the seminar is going to be, where you can give folks this information and they can attend.
Okay. It's this Thursday, the 16th of June at 3 p.m. up at Ballandod Funeral Home. And the address is 5100 West Wellesley. And again, Ballandod is just west of the VA hospital. It's behind it by Joe Albee Stadium. And we will be discussing all of these things that I'm talking about right now, but we will be elaborating quite a bit more. And then for veterans who want to pursue this and they want to start making arrangements, or they want to get more information, we sit down with families individually and walk them through the process, find out what they want, what they're thinking about, and then come up with a plan and some options for them. And then when they're ready to do this, they will have all the information that they need to make a wise decision. And we're very practical. We're not trying to sell people high-end funerals. We have a $850 casket and we have a $9,000 casket. And I do not try to sell the $9,000 casket to anybody. So we have a lot of options, and there's just a lot of details to think about when you're thinking about what kind of a service do you want, and, you know, the flowers, the folders, and where are you going to be buried, or are you going to be scattered? And some people want to use the veteran cemetery, and other people want to be sent back home to be buried with their parents or whoever. And so whatever scenario that you're thinking of, that what you want, you know, we can work out a plan and to plan for that. And also, one of the things that I really like about our company is we offer national transferability. So if you purchase a service here in Spokane today, and then 5-10 years down the road, you change your mind and you decide that you're going to move to Florida, your policy will go with you. And then once you get there, the price that you paid today in Spokane will stick. When you get to Florida or wherever it is you're going to go to, you will not pay the inflated price of some of the other areas in the country whose prices are way higher than they are here in Spokane. And so whatever you purchase today, you lock in today's price, and then that follows you wherever you move.
Well, this is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio, yeah, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley, with Kelly Richardson of Dignity Memorial. And I got to tell you something. I had a couple of shows where we talked about the problems with the VA and all of the things that were going on. And one of the interesting parts of that, people came back to me and said, okay, what's the private sector solution? What can we do about this? How can we get ahead of this problem? And that's one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on today, because a lot of these things we do have solutions for, people just don't know. And I think it's important, just I know you believe this, that veterans should be treated with dignity. All people should be treated with dignity, but especially when they've passed away. And families got to deal with this, the situation and all the emotion that's involved with it. And so that's one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on, because this is something where there is a solution in the private sector. This is something we can get ahead of. We don't have to worry about, you know, another VA scandal of some kind mm-hmm. somewhere. But this is something actually where we can help our veterans up front.
Right.
I want to shift gears a little bit to the next thing that you wanted to talk about today and that I really think is important. And that's, you know, we have a lot of elderly veterans out there. I've met several of them. But there are actually organizations out there that are helping these folks. And one in particular, Free Handyman Services. That's pretty cool. I really like that.
Yes, it's a new 501c3 organization here in Spokane. They are located out in the valley on the corner of Trent and Pines. And a man named Kevin Oxley started it, and he actually started this service down in L.A., and it took off. It was very successful, and so he brought it up here to Spokane because there is no other services like this. And what they're doing is for disabled and elderly veterans or just veterans in need, they provide housework, yard work, and home repairs and maintenance free of charge to the veteran. And he just opened up a few weeks ago, and their phone has not stopped ringing. And I discovered them on Craigslist about a month ago. And being the veteran that I am, I immediately went down there to check them out, because there's just been so many scams regarding, you know, veterans charities and whatnot. So I went down there and I interrogated that man for 3 hours. And I'm here to tell you, he is very legitimate. It is a very legitimate service. And then I went out on a few jobs with them. And so one of the things that I'm helping them do on the weekends is I can't do the heavy yard work stuff anymore, but I help elderly people with their housework. And we have a veteran out in Newman Lake. He's 82 years old. He was an Army pilot. And his wife passed away several years ago, and now he's got cancer, and he lives alone with his dog and his cat, and he is no longer able to tend to his house or his yard, and he's kind of become a hoarder. So we've been out at his house the last couple weeks, cleaning it out and, you know, helping him with some other things. And another thing that we do, we don't just go, you know, do yard work for somebody. We sit down and talk to them and find out what else do they need. You know, because Spokane has and Coeur d'Alene, we have a wonderful, wonderful network here of veterans resources, both government and non-government, a lot of nonprofits. There's a lot of veterans groups who help veterans with various things. So when we go out to clean somebody's house, we're not just cleaning their house. We're, you know, it's a ministry, and we want to help that person get plugged in to some of the other area resources. And a lot of them are homebound. Like this guy out in Newman Lake doesn't drive anymore. So a lot of elderly veterans are homebound, and they just cannot do this stuff for themselves anymore. So I'm helping the Free Handyman part-time on the weekends, and they're really in dire need of volunteers. We need some young, strong guys that can go out and do yard work and chop wood and move heavy objects and things like that. And then if a veteran needs some serious home maintenance that requires a licensed contractor, we will find the person who can go do that. And we've had a ton of Spokane contractors step up and volunteer to go fix people's homes free of charge, or just for the cost of parts and things like that. And I know that an elderly woman's plumbing got fixed last week because of this handyman service. And there's no red tape. There's no long waits. Their job board is full. They've got a ton of jobs on the board right now. And they're just really busy, and their phone has not stopped ringing since they opened. So, and then they're working in partnership with New Beginnings and a couple of the other groups, just to make sure that these veterans, you know, get all their needs met.
It's just so important, I think, that, you know, we have the greatest generation is aging, and we We can't let them down now when they do actually need help. And a lot of these folks, I think, may not even ask for it. You know what I mean? I think they might not want help even though they need it.
Right. And we've run into that, too. We've had a couple of calls from concerned neighbors and family members who are calling to tell us about, you know, their dad's living in deplorable living conditions. And, you know, once you get into your 80s and 90s, you can't be doing, you know, you can't be doing yard work and stuff anymore for the most part. And so we've received several calls from other people because the veterans themselves, one, they don't know that these things exist. And two, they don't ask for help. They may not realize they need it. We've encountered a few people who have dementia and they don't know that their house is unsanitary. And so we've run into those kind of scenarios too. So,
yeah, and it's just, I'm sure there's just probably far more need than there is availability, for help, but we got to help where we can. I mean, that's just what we have to do. We have to help where we can.
Right. And so, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
A lot of volunteers have come forward. We do have an application process. You know, you need to pass a background check in order to go out to somebody's home, you know, that kind of thing. You need to pass a drug test and that kind of thing. But we've actually got quite a few volunteers who are stepping up, and we've got a lot of young men who are offering to go out and do yard work and things. So, so that part of it's working out well, but we always need volunteers. So.
Well, and I think that's great. So if anybody does want to volunteer, who do they call? Can they call you? How do they get involved? How do they get plugged in?
The number for Free Handyman for Disabled Veterans, the number is 509-329-6864. And again, it's out in the valley on the corner of Trent and Pines, and you can't miss it. There's a big wooden sniper on the roof, and there's a couple of Army guys up on the roof, and there's a huge white letters. You can see them all the way down Pines. It says Free Handyman Services for Disabled Veterans. You cannot miss it.
Perfect. I love that. So I want to move to the next thing, and that's this. There are a lot of veterans organizations out there, mm-hmm. a lot, as you've alluded to. I remember when we discussed this previously, my head was swimming with the number of veterans organizations. Mm-hmm. First of all, how can people know that they're good and legitimate? And secondly, where can people go to, you know, find out about all the different services that are indeed out there, maybe for their friends or loved ones, or maybe for themselves?
Well, there are several resources. We have a large group here in town called the Eastern Washington Veterans Task Force, and it's an association of 260 resources. Some of them are veterans organizations and some of them are not, but they all deal somehow are involved with veterans. And they have a meeting once a month to discuss all these different resources and activities and events and just all these things that are going on that affect veterans. And SNAP is there, the VA is there, the HUDVASH homeless program is there, New Beginnings belongs to it, Healing Waters. There's just all kinds of veterans groups and other agencies who belong to this. And everybody in that group, including myself, we stay on top of things. So if we hear of a scam or a fake charity or anything like that's going on, somebody checks it out, especially myself. When I hear, anytime I learn about a new veterans group, I go out and interrogate them. Because there's just been so many scams, and you lose the public's trust with things. Like these guys from Free Handyman, they've got a crew who makes phone calls all day asking for donations, and a lot of people are very suspicious of this, you know, this new veterans organization. And another resource is the Vet Center out in the valley off of Mirabeau Parkway. They are part of the VA, but they also are a great resource. They've got flyers in there for absolutely everything you can think of. They have a group for whatever type of group you can think of. I mean, they've got an infantry group, they've got a medic and corpsman group, they've got women's groups, family groups, there's a Vietnam group. There's a church group over in Post Falls that's mostly made up of the Vietnam vets, and they meet on Friday nights over in Post Falls. They're a good group. And there's just a lot of places you can go to find out about these things. But for our elderly veterans who are homebound and no longer drive, that it's a lot more challenging for them.
So. I can imagine it is. Well, if you could go back through, when is the seminar? Plug that so folks can learn about the seminar. Also, okay. Where they can go again to get the handyman information for their friends and loved ones.
Okay. So the seminar is this Thursday, day after tomorrow, from 3 to 5 p.m. at Ballandod Funeral Home, which is 5100 West Wellesley Avenue, 99205. It's just down the street from the VA hospital. And the number there is 509-328-5620. That's the office number at Ballandod Funeral Home. And then for those interested in finding more about the free handyman services, that phone number is 509-329-6864. And Kevin Oxley is the founder of that organization. And he himself is not a veteran, but most of the people who work there are, or are family members.
Perfect, Kelly. And if you could, send that to me via email, and I'll make sure to get it posted up on the Patriot Radio Facebook page as well. Okay. Well, in the few minutes we have left, Kelly, if you could talk about what you think veterans should be doing in the community right now. And I kind of want to just open it up to that. Just if you have a message to young folks about how they can help veterans as well, if you could get that out to the listeners.
Okay. I could go on for hours about this, and I'll try to condense it. Here's the bottom line. Isolation is the true enemy. We're all scarred. We're all broken. We all came home with physical and non-physical wounds. And I don't know any veteran who came home from the service and went back to, quote, normal. It doesn't exist. And the worst thing I've seen is the isolation. The isolation causes so many problems. And you see so many vets that get into, you know, the drugs and the alcohol, and they're in bad relationships, and they end up in trouble with the law. And they're just having all of these problems. And my personal solution to all of this that helped me is you've got to be proactive. You've got to get involved. And I'm not talking about going down to a bar somewhere and getting drunk with other veterans. You've got to get involved with, you know, at the grassroots level. There are veterans out there who are way worse off than I am. And that's what helped me with my PTSD was when my brother came home from Afghanistan. Wow, my PTSD diminished a lot. I realized that these younger vets that are coming back are in way worse shape than I ever was. And I see it too with the older Vietnam vets, because they did not get the help they needed when they got back. They got the short end of the deal, and that's putting it very politely. And so my thing is you can't sit around doing nothing and, you know, moping in your apartment and drinking and popping pills and hating the world. You may have a legitimate reason to do so, but you can't do that. You're just going to wither away. And at some point, you've got to come out of your shell. You've got to start living again. And so my advice to veterans, especially the younger ones coming back, is don't isolate. Just don't isolate it. It's deadly. And it leads to suicide and all kinds of other issues. And my recommendation is to get involved with other veterans. You need the camaraderie, you need the accountability. And when you start helping other people, it helps you realize that you're not as bad off as you think you are, and that other people need you, and that people that served in the military have a skill set and a personality that most civilians don't have. And so you don't want that to go to waste. You don't want to get out of the military and then just become a depressed wasteoid, if that's the right word.
Well, thank you very much for everything that you're doing to help veterans. I really appreciate it. We'll have you back on Patriot Radio again, and just keep up the great work, and make sure to send that to me so I can get that posted up on the Facebook page as well.
I will do that as soon as we log off here.
Perfect. Kelly Richardson, Family Service Advisor, talking about veterans issues today, and specifically getting ahead of some of these issues so that, you know, we don't hear these horrible stories of folks that have fallen through the cracks, or, you know, they run into the stuff at the end of life, and it's just horrific on their family as well. So anyway, as soon as I get that information, I will have it up on the Patriot Radio Facebook page in regards to veterans' burial benefits, also the seminar coming up, and the free handyman for disabled veterans and elderly veterans as well, which I think is just a wonderful way to outreach and just help your neighbor, you know, just love on your neighbor. I really, really appreciate that.
Yes.
Well, I want to end with a couple things. The first is, in Nevada tonight, Michelle Fiore running for Congress in Nevada. Michelle Fiore is a state representative, a great friend of mine, member of the Coalition of Western States, running for Congress, pro-veteran, pro-Constitution and everything else. She is a phenomenal lady. And The election is tonight for her. So please, if you have the opportunity, send prayers her way. She would be a phenomenal addition in Congress. In fact, she would turn that place probably upside down, but right side up. She has been a stalwart constitutional conservative and someone that just doesn't talk the talk, but walks the talk. So if you get a chance, again, pray for Michelle Fiore down in Nevada tonight. The results are coming in here in the next couple of hours for her. And this would be a huge win, I think, for America if she was the next congresswoman down there in Nevada. Also, I want to mention tonight as well that there are going to be several events coming up, but the foremost one is Marble, God and Country, 24th through 26th June. Starts that Friday. Get a chance, come up there. People have been asking me, what do we do? What do we do, Matt? How do we fight back? What organizations do we need to join? That's where you'll find out, and that's where you can join these organizations and get involved. And it's really a great strategy session, time of fellowship, and a great place to share information of what works in fighting at the local level. Also want to mention, before we close here, there has been a lot going on in regards to the transgender bathroom issue and gender identity issue and all of this. I have the packets of information for folks to start getting active locally, but the foremost thing that you can do is you can contact your school district and demand that they do not teach gender identity stuff to kindergartners or any other age for that matter. Starting in 2017, you can demand the school districts don't do that. It's not a state mandate. And OSPI actually emailed the other day and confirmed that that's the case. So we can actually take our rightful place as we the people, the government, and make that happen at the local level. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.